There's a complicated method to the way our critic Marion Winnick chooses what we feature here on the Weekly Reader. Hi, I'm Lisa Morgan, and on today's show, we have two books that differ from each other in many ways. In fact, one was released in 1997 and the other just this week, but they have one important thing in common. They both begin with a funeral. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Lisa. The House of Broken Angels is a whirling fiesta of a novel set at the center of the action as the entire De La Cruz family assembles in a San Diego barrio for two major events. First, the burial of its matriarch. Then, the next day, the 70th birthday of her oldest son, Big Angel. Pulitzer Prize finalist Luis Alberto Urrea traces Big Angel's life from his desperate youth in Mexico to the Don Corleone-like position he now holds at the center of his raucous immigrant family. So big and complicated, I had to draw a family tree to follow it all. The last book I did that for was 100 Years of Solitude, but as in that case, it proved to be well worth it. No matter whether you're at the funeral or the birthday party, Urrea's writing makes this book a joy. Here's a description of one of Angel's sisters-in-law, known as La Gloriosa. La Gloriosa was up early. She didn't know why everybody thought she was late to everything. Cabrones, it took time to be this fine. You didn't just jump out of bed looking like the living legend of the family. I know. So maybe she didn't get to where she was supposed to be when they wanted her there, but she made sure they would remember forever the moment she arrived. In addition to its beauty queen, the family also has its lowlifes and drug dealers, a long-absent prodigal son, and some unavenged murders in its past. If you think this party won't be all cake and ice cream, you are right. Another book that starts with a death is Ann Patchett's 1997 novel, The Magician's Assistant, which I heard about for years and finally got to. I didn't start reading Patchett until her big hit, Bel Canto, and now I'm excited that I still have a couple other early ones ahead of me. Parsifal is dead, reads the first sentence of the book. That is the end of the story. But of course, it's only the beginning. Parsifal turns out to be a gay magician, and though he had AIDS, he ended up dying of a ruptured aneurysm. Not long before his death, he married his assistant of many years, Sabine. Sabine is a stunningly beautiful woman who devoted her entire adult life to loving this man, assisting his magic act, and helping him care for his dying Vietnamese lover, Phan. Now, all by herself in an enormous house in Los Angeles with only a rabbit for company, she falls into a profound despair. Then, some very strange news arrives. Everything Parsifal has ever told her about his past is a lie. His real name was Guy Fetters. He was not from Connecticut, but Alliance, Nebraska, where his mother and sisters still live. After decades of estrangement, they now show up in L.A., asking Sabine to take them to see his grave. After a rocky start, Sabine realizes these women are actually great, and she travels to Nebraska in the dead of winter to return the visit. My favorite scene in the book is the first time she joins their whole family, including twin nephews Parsifal never met, in their nightly ritual. This is watching a videotape of the time she and Parsifal were on Johnny Carson, performing a levitation trick. This scene is so beautifully orchestrated and written, so elegant and so intense, it proves that fiction itself is a kind of magic.
The books are The House of Broken Angels by Luis Alberto Urrea and The Magician's Assistant by Ann Patchett. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wipr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marion Winnick.